Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the AVB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the Authorized Version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God Israel.
You don't have to be a genius to see that the things that I teach, I, the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, teach, are well grounded on that which is presented in the AVB, Authorized Version Bible, and that I am led by that which the scriptures actually uphold. This is noteworthy. The Bible does not uphold all the actions of the characters that are in it. The Bible does not uphold those who curse the ruler of their people. The Bible does not uphold the characters who despise and defile the Sabbath day. And the Bible does not uphold its characters who take the name of the Lord their God in vain. Now, if the Bible does not uphold the characters who curse their God, then the Bible does not uphold Jesus. And if the Bible does not uphold its characters who despise and defile the Sabbath day, then the Bible does not uphold Jesus. And if the Bible does not uphold its characters who take the name of the Lord their God in vain, then the Bible does not uphold Jesus. Needless to say, these things I teach are very important. Why? Though I could give several, maybe many, reasons why my teaching is so important, chief among them is this, that there is an enemy. That enemy is always at war against you, and you may not even realize that. It is an evil enemy, an enemy without shame, and an enemy who lies and lies and keeps on lying. An enemy who has deemed you to be mentally inferior and incapable of understanding. You have an enemy whose religion, Christianity, is both mythical and deceitful. You have an enemy who is warring against you night and day by means of radio, internet, television. You have an enemy who never sleeps. Your enemy's most powerful weapon is that which may not seem at all a danger to you. I speak of your enemy, erroneously called Bible teachers and preachers. They are the ministers of Christ. They preach Jesus. And their main duty is to keep you dumbed down, deceived, and void and ignorant of the truth. They are preachers of lies and deceit. They tell you Jesus loves you. That is not so in the scriptures. Many of you may have been taught the little song when you were a kid, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Father Bible tells me so. Well, the Bible does not tell you that Jesus loves you. The Bible, in its official capacity, does not tell you Jesus loves you. The lying ministers tell you Jesus died for your sins, and you can see through my teaching that off-Bible content, the content of the revelation, that of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that Jesus did die for his own sins. The character Jesus died for his own sins and not for yours and not for the sins of the whole world. They tell you Jesus is Lord. They tell you Jesus is coming back for you. They tell you Jesus did no sin when it is apparent in the revelation, the content of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that Jesus did sin. He sinned, he sinned, he sinned. They tell you Jesus was righteous when, according to the content of the revelation, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it is apparent that Jesus, the character, is not a righteous character. He is not a law-abiding character. They tell you lie after lie after lie. Christianity is a religion that teaches lies. Wake up. Wake up. I say again, Christianity is a religion that teaches lies. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. The Authorized Version Bible tells me so. And I have been making you wise to that fact for quite some time now. And you should be well grounded in the truth which I, the Lord, the Tommy L. Hart, teach you. The Gentiles will not allow themselves to knowingly be misled by black people. They would charge the black people with fraud. Why then should black people allow themselves to knowingly be misled by the Gentiles? Are black people really mentally inferior to the Gentiles, as the Gentiles make out? And do black people really not have the capacity to understand? Do they really not have the capacity to understand when presented with an abundance of clear and convincing authoritative intelligence? I speak of the black people's unquestioning faith in that which was told them from the days of enslavement. To this day, black people do not believe in that which the Bible, the AVB, teaches, but rather they believe in the false things the Gentiles have told them. The AVB's teachings and the Gentiles' sayings about Bible things are not in agreement. I've shown you that to be the case. They are contrary the one to the other, so that if you believe the Bible, you do not believe the Gentiles' sayings, and if you believe the Gentiles' sayings, you do not believe the Bible's teachings. People, I say to you, we have got to break free of this entanglement, this web of lies called Christianity and religion. The Gentiles have done a great disservice to us. They have given us a wrong and false weight. I, the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, have given you the truth and the right way. Will you not take it up? The AVB teaches you should follow God. God is here in the person of Tommy L. Hart. Trust your God, Tommy L. Hart. You will trust your God, Tommy L. Hart, or you will continue to trust your enemy, the Gentiles, those guilty of giving you and your people a false way and a false hope. That is wickedness. It is time for you to stand up and fight back in the name of your God, Tommy L. Hart. Stand up and fight back against the evil of Christianity and religion. You have your God, Tommy L. Hart, and you have rights. Stand with me, the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart, and fight back. I say to you, fight. Fight back for God and rights. You are lacking autonomy. You are lacking a history. You are lacking a homeland. You are lacking independence. You are lacking your God-given rights. You are lacking identity. You are lacking self-pride. You have been lacking in your one and true God. And you have been lacking knowledge of the truth. The Gentiles have denied and robbed you of all those things. Stand up and fight for what the Bible says is yours. Stand up for God and rights. Stand up and fight. Fight for God and rights. Fight back with the truth that has come from Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart. The Bible says God's truth, the truth that has come from Tommy L. Hart, shall be your shield and buckler. Be courageous and fear not. Stand up and fight for God and rights. In the name of your God, Tommy L. Hart, stand up and fight for God and rights. Claim your God and stand up and fight for God and rights. Identify with your God, Tommy L. Hart, and rise up and fight for God and rights. Your cause is just and the battle is yours. Rise up and fight in the name of your God, Tommy L. Hart. Stand up and fight for God and rights. For that which your enemy so violently took away from you, rise up, stand up and fight for God and rights. Let this be your mantra, for God and rights. We have the authority of the AVB and God's interpretation of the scriptures. Rely on your God, Tommy L. Hart, and rise up and stand with God and fight for God and rights. When you fight having God, the Lord Tommy L. Hart, you are fighting against evil and oppression. You are fighting against the evil of Christianity and religion. Rise up, stand up and fight, having God on your side. Fight for God and rights. Now, question of interest, 1 Corinthians 15:12. poses the question. I'll read the complete statement first. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? The question is, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? That's a question that seeks an answer. and must be answered. How say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Let me tell you, the Bible asks that question, and it gives an answer to the question. How do those that among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Here is how they say there is no resurrection of the dead. They say this, and it's given. The answer is given in verse 14. They say this. They say it in this manner, that there is no resurrection of the dead. They say, it's verse 13 answers the question. It says, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? That is how those that among you say there is no resurrection of the dead. The Bible asks the question, how do they say it? And then it gives the answer. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? You have an A and a B. You have an antecedent, which says, if there be, which says, there be no resurrection of the dead. And you have a consequent that says, Christ is not risen. I ask you, where is there a resurrection of the dead? And do black people have, not black people, but people, have the dead been raised, or do the dead rise? Now, any sensible person would say, no, the dead are not raised. Now, if the dead be not raised, then Christ is not risen. Do you get that? The question is, how do those among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? And the answer is, they say it in this manner. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? The resurrection of the dead is necessary. This is what the Bible is saying right here. The resurrection of the dead is a necessary thing for Christ to be raised. If the dead are not raised, then Christ is not raised. He's not risen. But they don't stop there. They say it again in verse 16 in answer to the question, how say those among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? They say it this way. In verse 16, it is given the answer. If the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. It asks the question in verse 12 and gives an answer in verses 13 and 16. Verse 16, if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. That's it in the story concerning Jesus, and that's it in real life. I mean, in real life, as in the story, the dead rise not. That's what verse 16 says. The if. What follows the if? The dead rise not. That's the antecedent. And what follows the then? The if then. It's an if-then statement, same as verse 13, an if-then statement, antecedent coming first, followed by the consequent. The dead rise not, then Christ is not raised. I said earlier, in other words, I said, it's time for us to fight, to stand up and fight against the evil of Christianity and religion, because they're made up, their doctrines, it's doctrines, the doctrine of Christianity is made up of lies. Lies. I believe the Bible. The ministers of Christ, the Christians from the papacy on down, those who preach and teach Jesus is Lord, Jesus is alive, Jesus is this, Jesus is that, all liars. Now, let me read what follows. How say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Listen, it goes on. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. The preaching coming from Catholicism and the Protestant. And if there be any others, the lies coming from Christianity and religion. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. That you have no evidence of the dead being raised. Therefore, you must conclude that the dead do not rise. When the last time you heard of a person rising from the dead, having died, been buried, and laid on to be raised up from the dead. When the last time you heard that, that does not happen in real life. Neither does it happen in the Bible. This is what the Bible is saying, even in the Bible story concerning Jesus. If the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And I think I've said that enough. You should get the point here. The Bible asked a question and then gave an answer to that one question in verses 13 and 16. It gives an answer. How that is done. How what is done. How say they among you that there is no resurrection of the dead. Okay? A necessary condition. What is a necessary condition? In order for Christ to be raised, then the dead must rise. There must be the rising of the dead. The dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. The dead rise not, therefore Christ is not raised. And we know that the statement there in Job 14, I've given it to you before. Job 14 says this, it asks the question, Job 14:14, if a man dies, shall he live again? And of course it gives the answer in the same chapter, verse 10, it says, but man dies and wasteth away, yea, man gives up the ghost. Verse 12, so man lies down and riseth not. That's what is taught there in the statements, the question and the statements following, which I read, coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Okay. Now, so what do I get? Let me, verse 1 also of Job 14:1 says, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Verse 2, he comes forth like a flower and is cut down. Jesus, the character, was cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continues not. He does not continue to live. Man lies down and rises not. Man dies and wastes away. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not raised. That's the case. The dead is not. The dead have not been raised. Neither has Christ been raised. For the rising of the dead would be a necessary condition for Christ Jesus to be raised. And do understand this, that Jesus. I'm speaking about the Bible story. The story that's in the book. The story that's given in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We know that Jesus is not a real, he was not a real character, is not a real character, was not a real character, will never be a real character. We know that. And we can appreciate that. We can appreciate the story. Jesus was a lawbreaker who was eventually caught by the authorities, charged, found guilty, in a trial, found guilty, sentenced to death, and his body was broken up. His body was broken up. Like, well, you know what broken up means. His body was broken up and given to the burning flame, burned up, consumed by fire. The destruction of Jesus. Okay. Now, I've spoken about the necessary condition set forth in 1 Corinthians 15, which is in agreement with that which I showed to you in Job chapter 14. Now, we learn something from this, that everything in what is called the letter, everything in the Pauline epistles is not said by Paul, because Paul the character, preached the resurrection of the dead. So it is the authority who put that in 1 Corinthians 15, which I read it. How say they among you that there is no resurrection of the dead, and then if the dead not faith, not Christ risen? That's the authority putting that in. Everything in letters ascribed to Paul is not said by Paul. Because, as I pointed out, that I read in 1 Corinthians 15 is against the teaching of Paul. But it's in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul taught the resurrection of the dead. The statement, the question and answer that I pointed out to you is against the resurrection of the dead. And says that the dead do not rise, and therefore Christ is not raised. That's against the teaching of Paul. Paul teaches that the dead. Paul teaches that Jesus rose from the dead. He teaches Jesus rose from the dead. And that statement, what I just showed, the things I showed in 1 Corinthians 15, that those things show that Christ was not risen. He was not raised from the dead. Paul talked in his letters, Paul talked that Jesus was raised from the dead. And did you get that last part, though? That's very important. And there, before I end, listen. If Christ be not risen, then is the preaching vain. And your faith, what's your faith? Jesus, Christianity. Your faith is also vain. And we, the ministers of Christ, are found false witnesses of God. Paul is found to be a false witness of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. The liars. Paul is among the liars. Jesus was a liar. Jesus taught deceit. Paul follows in Jesus' steps. Paul is a follower of Jesus. Paul said in one statement, he told the people, follow him as he follows Christ. You know, Paul is just like Jesus, the character. Paul, the character, is like Jesus, the character. They are both sinners. They are both transgressors. Now, if Jesus and Paul are transgressors, and the Christian ministers in real life teach the things taught by Jesus and Paul, which are against the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, then the ministers of Christ, the Christian ministers, are also found to be what? Sinners, transgressors. Okay? I want to say this also. Proverbs 28, and I'll close. Proverbs 28, verse 9. Proverbs 28, verse 9 says, he that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Jesus turned his ear away from hearing the law. Does Jesus have a prayer? Yes. Matthew chapter, somewhere in the beginning of Matthew, I'm turning to it, maybe chapter 5 or 6, somewhere in there. Okay. Not chapter 5, so we go to chapter 6. Yes, in chapter 6, Jesus' prayer. It goes like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That prayer by Jesus is an abomination. That's what Proverbs 28, verse 9 says. He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. This prayer given by Jesus is to be viewed as an abomination. I call it the abominable prayer. That's all I have time for today. Join me next time.